AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We've been taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We've talked a variety of topics on the show today. We're tearing off Super Bowl halftime shows. You can check those out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We were just talking about some of the introductory press conferences yesterday. Liam Cohen, it's not one for the history books, or is it?
We'll see. Only time will tell. Some of these guys have been able to recover from a bad intro presser. Other guys have, that was it.
Yeah.
They were done on the spot.
Yeah, it's true. Dan Campbell, Nick Sirianni bouncing back.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo, not so much.
No.
Among others.
Patricia, Adam Gase.
We also compared Belichick and Andy Reid, something we'll be doing each day this week at 11 o'clock, comparing the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs. Today we did the head coaches, and a lot of talk about the Celtics in the first hour of the show. For more on the Super Bowl and the Patriots, their coaching staff, some of these moves they've been making this offseason, we welcome in Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. How are we doing this week, Tom?
Top of the world. Top of the world.
Excellent.
Let's start with...
How are you, boys?
Oh, great. We're doing great. We're doing phenomenal. Talking Super Bowl halftime shows. Great to have the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. But how do you think this coaching staff is coming together, Tom, from the coordinators to some of the more recent hires? How do you think that's coming together for Mike Vrabel?
I think it's probably, in his mind, coming together about as well as he could have hoped. And I think for Robert Kraft, it's probably coming together as well as he could have hoped. Because when we look at his remarks after dismissing Gerard Mayo, the main crisis that he thought confronted the coaching staff was a lack of experience, whether it be Mayo or all the way down the line, and putting people together who hadn't been together. Now, Vrabel's staff is somewhat unfamiliar in terms of all of the individuals working together previously, but the experience quotient is off the charts relative to last year. So I think it's coming together really well. I mean, obviously there's guys who are tied down elsewhere that you're not going to get the pick of the litter of the entire league to say, I'm going to fashion this staff exactly as I want to. But I think it's coming together pretty well if you looked at the Patriots of 2024 and said they just weren't ready on Sundays.
Now, time will tell, but they're spending money on the coaching staff, which I definitely view as a positive. Does this mean they're also going to spend some real money on the roster, which I think many fans are more concerned about?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of a different bucket.
Right.
You have to spend on the players. I mean, you're bound to it by the CBA, and you have that amount of money. So who are the players you're going to chase? And if you're not going to chase them through free agency, which we've talked about a bunch of times now, I just don't think the number of players who hit free agency are as appealing as they used to be, because all teams have so much more money against the cap to spend. Will you be innovative in trying to seek trades? I mean, you can compile the best coaching staff known to man, and if you don't have the players on Sunday to walk out and protect Drake May, then he's not going to be able to throw it to whatever receiver you will able to swing a trade for. So they have to spend the money. How are they going to spend it? Who are they going to spend it on? Is it going to be on Jonathan Smith and Nelson Aguilar's? Or are they going to get it on, you know, guys like Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry? So that remains to be seen. But to me, they have to spend the money.
I'm curious about the way the coaching staff, the personalities can fit together. You know, last year, Tom, they had a bunch of first-timers, which we criticized. First-time GM, first-time head coach, first-time coordinators, effectively a first-time offensive coordinator, and Alex Van Pelt is a play caller. So the lack of experience was an issue. This is a very experienced coaching staff, but it is a lot of guys who have been there, done that as head coaches. How do those personalities mix, especially when a number of them have never coached together before?
I think there's going to have to be a tamping down of personal preferences. Like, McDaniel's been a head coach in two different locations. He's been in the league and coached in, I don't know how many, AFC championships and Super Bowls. He's got a way that he wants of doing things, but I'm sure that he's going to have to look at Mike Vrabel and say, what do you want, Mike? What do you want to see from me? How do you want me to work with Doug? Doug, what do you see from your offensive line if Doug Marrone is indeed the offensive line coach? What's your vision? And then meld them together. So I think when you have people who have great experience in doing something, they're going to bring their own visions to things. But if you're hired by someone else, like if you're hired someplace else to be a talk show host and somebody is above you, you're going to say, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to best serve you? I guess that's, I think Vrabel kind of said that, you know, in service to whatever your team is trying to accomplish, you have to be in a mindset of servitude, I guess.
You know, with the Chiefs winning, going to another Super Bowl, all the comparisons have come up. And over the next 2 weeks, you know, there's plenty of time to talk about all the Patriots and Chiefs comparisons. I'm curious, in your mind, when you look at the three individuals on each side, you know, Andy Reid chasing Bill Belichick, Patrick Mahomes chasing Tom Brady, and even Travis Kelce chasing Rob Gronkowski, I certainly think all three of the Patriots are better right now than all three Chiefs. But in your mind, which debate is the closest? Which Kansas City Chief has the best argument against any of those Patriots?
I would probably say Reid and Belichick at this juncture, because Reid's done it in two different places. He didn't win a Super Bowl with Philadelphia, of course, but you know, he was there multiple times at the highest level, and Bill didn't do it in two places, but Bill was so friggin' good in the first place that he didn't leave for 24 years. So I would say probably Reid, because I think what Brady did is, and we talked about this a lot on BST last week, he's got 7 Super Bowl rings, and he did it in two different places and faced adversity after adversity, whether it be through roster, through drama on the team, reinvented himself and then went to Tampa and raised a team that had previously and since been just another Jag team. So to me, I would say, you know, the Reid and Belichick comparison would probably be the most worthy. But again, Belichick on game day versus Reid on game day, Andy Reid in the 2000s was in early 2010s too. I mean, you remember with Alex Smith and the Chiefs were against the Patriots in a, I think it was a divisional or wild card round game. It's just complete clock mismanagement. Bill never really encountered that. So it's great stories and it is great fodder, but I look at it and say the Patriots are pretty secure overall in their place.
What about Kelce and Gronk? You talked a lot about Reid and Belichick there. You talked a lot about Brady, Mahomes. What about Kelce and Gronk? Is that one even close in your mind?
Yeah, it is, just because of the production. And, you know, you see Kelce certainly losing a step now, and I think that the Gronk certainly lost a step at times. But I think the nature of Gronk is a blocker, and his, I was going to say indestructibility, but that was part, his destructibility was a big portion of his career as well. I just liked watching Gronk more than I like watching Kelce. I just thought he was a more spectacular player. But that doesn't diminish Kelce's resume at all. I mean, he's, to me, the continuous, as you guys are pointing out and bringing up, he is the one thread that runs through the way that Tyreek Hill wasn't able to, or anybody else who was on the Chiefs, you know, throughout this run. I mean, Kelce is right. Is he better than Anthony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, and, you know, Shannon Sharp, and any other great tight end that we can think of? He certainly has to be way up in the conversation. John Mackey, Dave Casper, Russ nice. Francis, they're all nice. Coming out now.
Kellen Winslow, Mike Ditka.
Oh yeah, you got to include those guys. Watching the Philadelphia Eagles, Tom, literally run all the way to the Super Bowl. Do you think that changes how teams view the running back, or is this more specifically Saquon Barkley is just so good?
No, I think it's Philly. I think the number of that they have one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, maybe in league history, and his name is escaping me now, but he has been and will continue to be one of the best offensive line coaches that the league has seen, and they just have a litany of guys up front who are road graders. So, to me, if you don't have offensive linemen who can perform the way, you know, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce and all the other guys who've been up front for the Eagles over the years can, then you're not going to be able to replicate it. You just look at, you know, Buffalo. I mean, they tried to do what the Eagles do, and they couldn't do it. And they're probably not well suited to it the way the Eagles are. The Eagles just roll that tush push in, and it's not an issue. And to see that not work so often in a critical moment for the Buffalo Bills and them keep going to the well, it's, to me, you're borrowing something that's unique to what the Eagles do. So I just don't think every team can do that.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. You can check out his work on NBC
like
Sports Boston. That's very catchy. Hat tip to Keefe for that one. Fill me in on this. Were you there for the entire Pete Carroll tenure in New England, Tom?
I certainly was.
You were there for the whole run. Okay, so...
The whole run.
What do you think of Pete Carroll being in the NFL, back in the NFL, while Bill is at UNC?
I think there's an adaptability to Pete Carroll that teams don't look at Bill bringing at this point. And look, Pete's probably a bridge head coach, certainly a bridge head coach. And I think when you're bringing in Bill, you're not looking at somebody who views himself as a bridge head coach. So I think that would probably be the easiest differentiator between the two. If Bill comes in, he's going to be new broom sweeps clean. We're going to do it my way. The things that you guys used to do, well, they didn't work, so they're all done. And the Raiders certainly have to admit and acknowledge that, okay, what we've done here hasn't worked. We're going to change the way we're doing things. And Mark Davis spoke about that on Monday. But Bill is a shock to the system in a different way than Pete Carroll could ever imagine being, I think.
You know, looking at this head coaching cycle, do you have a favorite hire and a least favorite hire? And if the favorite hire is Vrabel, give me somebody other than Vrabel.
Fair. I think Ben Johnson to the Bears, and that's the easy one because he was the second most, I think, coveted head coach, but he's going to go someplace where there are offensive pieces in place, certainly with Caleb Williams, and you can be innovative. And his innovation to me was something that you look at, and that enthuses offensive players. That makes offensive players, you know, say, okay, well, if we can get this part down, then that will follow. So to me, watching Ben Johnson put together an offense for Caleb Williams with the pieces in place there is going to be fascinating to watch. And as I'm rolling through the Rolodex of players on their team, I think of a guy like Keenan Allen, but he's a free agent. So I'm actually going to segue to that. Those are the kinds of players, for the hell of it, I'm veering into free agency.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The Keenan Allens, the Cooper Kupses, the Khalil Max, I think those players would have real value to the Patriots on the free agent market. And you want lieutenants. That's what Bill had. That's what every good coach has. You have locker room lieutenants who understand your message and can disseminate it. Who are going to be those individuals for Mike Vrabel here? And can you do it with players who are you don't have background with and are bringing in from someplace else? That, to me, is going to be interesting to watch. I know I veered from the coaching conversation because it was, to me, it wasn't a very sexy group of coaches aside from Vrabel and Ben Johnson. In my mind, I mean, look at Bobby Slowick. Oof. The guy was, the soup du jour last year. Is Bobby Slowick going to go somewhere? Now he's out of a job. So the offensive coordinator of the year sometimes doesn't really pan out.
No, I think that's fair. Not a good showing from our guy, Liam Cohen. My guy, Liam Cohen, yesterday.
Yeah,
that was a little
awkward.
That was a rough start. Do you think, Tom... do you think we're getting the best matchup in the Super Bowl? Best team in the AFC, best team in the NFC, Chiefs and Eagles. Is this the best matchup we could have hoped for? Or were you hoping for somebody else to be here?
I think everybody wants to see something different. I think that Buffalo obviously is the sympathetic choice. And I like Josh Allen. I like the way he plays. I like the way he presents himself. I don't love McDermott, but he has fashioned a culture up there. He's not a great in-game coach. But I think Buffalo would have been a more fun matchup, certainly. And, you know, they beat Detroit. They beat Kansas City. I think they were a better team. I don't think the officiating was that egregious on Sunday to say they got hosed. But I would have rather seen them, and I probably would have rather seen Detroit. So if you gave me Buffalo and Detroit, I would have been delighted,
you know,
as opposed to this matchup.
Speaking of Buffalo, do they even hesitate to bring Sean McDermott back? Or do they think about, maybe we get another guy in here?
Who's the other guy? That's the thing. Who's the other guy? I just can't imagine.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all thinking
Belichick.
The same name. Yeah.
I just don't see that as being an antidote. I just, having watched how it unfolded the last 5 years here, you know, post Brady, I just don't see that unfolding in a particular way that would be any executive will look at that or owner will look at that and say, we need to bring that in here.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I probably wouldn't do that either. I think they're an interesting case, though, because it's not a rebuild. Part of the post-Brady Patriots issue was the lack of talent, which Bill was a big part of. But if you go in there, I mean, who's a better big-game coach even now, Sean McDermott or Belichick? I think I'd probably take my chances with Belichick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, you talk about managing the talent, too.
Yeah.
And when Bill goes in, who is he going to look at on his roster and say, oh, we don't need that guy?
Josh Allen. I was going to say, probably based on the track record, probably Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. See you later.
I don't need him.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen. I mean, you think about Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason. Both guys are still in their early 30s playing playoff-level football on an offensive line, and they've been gone for years from here. And, mm-hmm. and Bill said, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So, to me, I think that the intermingling of Bill's personnel decisions and what he thinks he can accomplish with the players that he has sometimes is, and the fact that, oh, we can't do this against the cap, we have to build this part of the team. I don't know if it works the same way now. I'm sure it can, and he's the most brilliant in-game coach that you'd ever see because of an understanding of games and situational football, but I just don't see him being as attractive a proposition.
Mm-hmm. Tom, before we let you go, we were tearing off halftime Super Bowl halftime shows earlier in the program today. You can check those out on the Odyssey app. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl halftime performance? Use whatever criteria you want. Do you have a favorite one? You've covered a lot of Super Bowls. What jumps out in your mind?
I think U2 was spine-tinglingly good because of all the history of what was going on in America at that time and the nature of the game itself. I think Prince was phenomenal, and I liked Pete Townsend's midriff when he went sliding across the stage.
Yeah,
all right, nice. Very good. Nice. Those are some very, very memorable ones. There was a couple of GOAT ones there and also a safe old is how those worked out on the tiers. We would never refer to Tommy Curran that way. He joins us every week on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Thank you.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Check out his work there. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Was I getting my slides across the stage confused? I said Bruce earlier. I thought you got Bruce Crotch on one of those that maybe was NSFW.
It might have been for both.
Yeah, maybe it was Pete Townsend.
These guys move a little bit. They move and shake a little bit. Maybe the wardrobe doesn't fit like it used to as well.
No,
it's like, it's my lucky shirt. It's like, you can't wear that anymore.
Who among us doesn't feel that way?
Listen, hand up.
So interesting thing there.
NYSF.
Exactly, Courtney. Good stuff there from Curran. One thing we didn't ask you about that I considered is the Patriots contingent at the Super Bowl. Evan Lazar tweeted this out, Keefe. Full Patriots contingent in Mobile. Mike Vrabel.
Senior Bowl.
I'm sorry,
did
what
you
did
say
I say?
Super Bowl?
I'm sorry, Senior Bowl is what
Senior
I
Bowl,
say.
Yeah.
Excuse
me. What the hell are they doing? They get tickets to the game?
Sorry, Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, the new personnel executive, Ryan Cowden, and EVP of player personnel, Elliot Wolf. So, some good and bad here. Mixed bag. I like that Vrabel's there. Your head coach should be there. I think Mayo was there last year. No, I'm sorry. Mayo didn't go.
No, he didn't go to anything last
Bill,
year.
Bill went a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That was at the East-West Shrine game, I thought.
Correct. But then Bill's also, like, skipped the combine mixed in there, which is
it's
wild.
It's all over the map.
So I'll be consistent. I want my coach at all these things. I always want my coach there. It's good that Vrabel's there. It's good that Cowden's there. Is it good that Wolf is there?
Well, yeah, Wolf's going to be a part of something. If we think
okay,
he's
you
doing...
say that. Hang on. Nick, what jumped out to you? Who's not there?
That Matt Groh was not there.
I mean, maybe he is. He's
maybe
not in
he's
the tweet
going
from North
Carolina, for all we know.
Yeah,
he
true.
Might be leaving.
But
because you're bringing in Vrabel, who's going to have more say than Mayo, and you're bringing in Cowden, who's going to have more say probably than Groh, you're keeping Elliot Wolf. So what's Matt Groh's role even?
I don't know. I don't know if he's on staff, and maybe Lazar just didn't have room in the tweet to put the name in there.
That can happen.
I don't know, but... It's not like they're bringing everyone, as far as I can tell. And if Groh's there, then I'll stand down. But, yeah, I like that Vrabel's there. I like that the Patriots are there. You should be there. It's the draft. It's important. You want to hit this thing out of the park. I don't know that I want Elliot Wolf anywhere near that thing.
Listen, who's going to pick the seventh rounder this year? It's going to be Elliot Wolf. You're going to throw him a bone. Let him pick the seventh round guy. That's fine.
Okay. I keep getting told he's not going to have a role. And I really, really, really hope everyone's right about that. And yet... Vrabel shouts him out every chance he gets.
Vrabel does call him out a lot.
He's there in Mobile. It doesn't look like a guy who's going to have no power, but I hope I'm wrong. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. We have a Kiefer Madness on the way at 1245. We'll get back into Bill Belichick and Andy Reid as we compare elements of the Patriots dynasty versus the Chiefs dynasty all week long. We'll get to Kelsey and Gronk tomorrow, but you can weigh in on that. Plus, if it's going to be a long 2 weeks out there for Patriots fans, are you ready officially to root for Philadelphia, or are there some of you out there that just can't bring yourselves to do that? We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics fell to the Houston Rockets at the TD Garden last night. Rockets' Amen Thompson hit a go-ahead shot with 0.7 seconds left in regulation to give Houston the 114-112 win. Jaylen Brown was the Celtics' top scorer with 28 points. The Seas return to the court tomorrow night when the Celtics host the Chicago Bulls. The Miami Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler indefinitely without pay after Butler walked out of practice yesterday. This is Butler's third suspension of the season. And just a heads up, the NBA trade deadline is next Thursday. And tonight, the Bruins look to make it 3 wins in a row when the Bees will be in Buffalo to play the Sabres. Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm did not make the trip. Face-off at the KeyBank Center is at 7:30. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.